أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم يكشف عن ساق ويدعون إلى السجود فلا يستطيعون خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة وقد كانوا يدعون إلى السجود وهم سالمون فذرني ومن يكذب بهذا الحديث سنستدرجهم من حيث لا يعلمون وأملي لهم إن كيدي متين أم تسألهم أجرا فهم من مغرم مثقلون أم عندهم الغيب فهم يكتبون فاصبر لحكم ربك ولا تكن كصاحب الحوت إذ نادى وهو مكظوم لولا أن تداركه نعمة من ربه لنبذ بالعراء وهو مذموم فاجتباه ربه فجعله من الصالحين وإن يكاد الذين كفروا ليزلقونك بأبصارهم لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون وما هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Starting from ayah 42 of Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. Remember the day when the shin will be made visible. وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ. And they will be invited to prostrate, to make a sajda. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. But will not be able to do so. Very amazing ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the shin will be made visible. What does this mean? Literally taking it, according to the hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will make His shin visible to people. And of course, we have to take this part of the ayah as mutashabihat. Mutashabihat means something that we cannot grab it now, we cannot properly understand it at this time, because whenever there is an ayah that talks about different parts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's body, His face, His hands, and just like the ayah is talking about the shin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these type of ayahs are called mutashabihat. Simply means we just accept it the way it is. Although some scholars, including Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu, mufassir al-Quran, have said that this is a metaphorical word that is used to express the feeling that it will be a difficult day. Arabs used to use this word, kashf al-saq, showing the shin, for a difficult time. And when they used to say that kashf al-saq, that a time will come when the saq will be open, that simply meant that it will be an extremely difficult time that you will be facing. So this is one of the meanings of the ayah. Some other Mufassirin also said that it also can mean when all the deeds will be made visible. Yukshafu an saq, the shin will be made visible, means all the deeds will be made visible. But of course, this is trying to interpret the ayah to our understanding. The best is to go with the first meaning, and that is just consider it as mutashabihat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem says that He has revealed different types of ayahs in Quran al-Kareem. Minhu ayatun muhkamatun hunna ummul kitab wa ukharu mutashabihat. There are some ayahs that are called al-muhkamat. Al-Muhkamat means those that we can understand the meaning of it. Not necessarily that every person will understand it, but at least the meaning is there, is available, is understandable. It hasn't been explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. There are some other ayahs that are al-mutashabihat, which we cannot really understand them by our understanding. Our brain cannot, is so limited that it cannot go to that extent of understanding those things. In this world, we got to remember, every person believes in things that he have not seen. We all believe in things that we have never seen. And in many cases, that we did not even know that the thing would exist, someone would inform us that the thing does exist, and then we trusting those people accept that it is there. God forbid, a person goes to the doctor, and after a blood test, and different type of test, the doctor says, you have a cancer. If this person will say, this is my blood, I know my blood better than you do, he's rejecting the facts. He should know, and he knows, and he realizes that this is this person's field. And the doctor knows exactly what he's talking about. Because he has the means of looking at those things and finding out the symptoms through which he can tell that this is a cancer. Same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of things that we have not seen. And they are totally invisible to us. We have to take them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. If we believe human beings like us, the scientists are telling us that the sun is so big, bigger than this world, so many times, we accept it. We teach it to others. And we surprise others with this type of knowledge. If someone would ask us this question, can you prove it? I don't have no proof. They're saying that. But I trust. We trusted that information, and therefore we take it, we accept it, and we narrate it, and we narrate that type of information, and we teach it to others. Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem is informing us of things that we have never seen. Invisible to us. The life after death, under the ground. Invisible. Even if we open the grave, we may not be able to see everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about it in Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about it in the hadith. But still we trust and we believe. So there are so many things that we cannot understand the exact way and the form, how and the shape, how they will be taking place. One of those ayahs are those that talk about different parts of Allah's body, because we don't say, we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no body like ours. How does he look like? We can never understand it. Because no human eye have ever seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his original form. So something that's invisible to us, we have never seen it, how can we try to imagine how it will look like? Therefore, when these type of ayahs will come, all we have to say is they are of mutashabihat, and we just accept it the way it is. We'll find out how it will take place the day we will see it. Yawma yukshafu an saq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the day when the shin will be made visible. So in whichever form, irrespective, the message is there that something will happen that people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or other. And that's also in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. You people will see your Lord on the Day of Judgment. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, some of them had a question mark on their face. He recognized it, that they are having some type of question, that how all the human beings gathering at one place be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all at once. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have any problem? Thousands of you, millions of you together have any problem seeing the moon I said, no. He said, this is how you would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of you would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one way or other, we will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever form He will be visible to us at that time. Something we cannot imagine, we cannot talk about. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, as that thing will happen, all the true believers will prostrate, will go into the sajda. But there will be a group of people who would be standing straight. They are standing with the believers. The kuffar are already separated. Two groups are already made. The group of the believers and the group of the disbelievers. Disbelievers are already out of question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told us in the hadith, munafiqeen, hypocrites, will be standing with the believers. Because they were believers, they were considered to be believers in this world. And there is no way that we can say to those people that be out of our group. So they will be standing with the believers. وَيُدْعَوْنَا إِلَى السُّجُودِ. As soon as that thing will become visible and we see that part, however we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Believers, true believers, who were regular for their salah, and they were punctual in doing the salah on time, they will just go down into the sujood, and the rest of the people will be just standing straight. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that even the munafiqeen will hope if they can do a sajda at that time, but their back will become flat like a metal sheet. So they won't be able to bend their backs. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. So they won't be able to bend their backs. They won't be able to do the sujood at that time. And once they will miss the sajda at that time, and they won't be able to do it, that will be a clear proof. Either, number one, this person was a hypocrite and did not belong to the Muslims. He just showed that he is a believer, but there was no iman in his heart. Or, number two, this person was not punctual on doing the prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, explaining the same thing, خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. Their eyes will be cast down, and humiliation, distress will be overwhelming them. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. They used to be called to perform a sajda when they were healthy. In fact, normally the translation will say different words for salimun. They were healthy, they were doing good. But I think fine would be a good translation to understand the right message of the word, that they were invited to do the sujood when they were fine. Fine in which way? In every way. Like they had the opportunity of doing the sujood at that time. They were healthy at that time. At this time, their back does not bend anymore. But at that time, when they were in the dunya, the call was made to the prayers. It was time for the prayer. They had their watches on their hands. They had watches all around them. But they will look at the time for salah and yet ignore it. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. They were invited to perform the sajda when they were doing fine, when they were okay. And yet they decided not to do the sajda at that time. Therefore, on the day of judgment, they will not be allowed to do the sajda. Some people have raised a question at this point. Some of us have raised a question. That there is no ibadah in akhirah. All the test is only in this world. No ibadah in the akhirah. So why people would be invited to do a sajda in the akhirah? That's an ibadah. Performing a sajda is an ibadah. So do we have to continue with the ibadah even after death? No. We do not have to continue. And that invitation will not be an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that go to sujood. In fact, it will be something that as soon as the true believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that form, they would not be able to hold themselves but to fall down into the sujood. Out of respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they won't be able to control themselves, and they all without having any control over themselves, they will just fall down into the sujood. But as munafiqeen will see that, they will look around that all the believers are down in the sujood. They will try. They will try. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that they won't be able to do it because their back will become flesh like a metal piece, a piece of metal. And this shows us, this ayah is telling us, the importance of being punctual on our salah. Making the salah on time. And at the same time, making the salah with the pure intention, with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is doing it for show off, that simply means he's now in the group of munafiqeen. He won't be able to show off on that day. That day, no hypocrisy will work. No one will be able to show off with his deeds. And no one will be able to do something that he does not believe in. So if we believe it, we will do it. In fact, salah is such an important ibadah that this is in the akhirah. Remember, and on the day of judgment, the test will be through the ibadah, through the salah, and the differentiation between the true believers and those who claim to be believers. Between those who are performing the salah regularly and those who are missing the prayers will be done through the salah on that day. But not only on that day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us in the hadith, when a person is buried in his grave, the angel would come to ask him the questions about his life. Of course, we all know the questions, Mar Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Nabiyuk, these type of questions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that as the person will see the angels, he would feel that the sun is setting. He would forget that he's in his grave. He will feel that the sun is setting. And he's missing Salatul Asr. Because the sun is setting and the time of Asr is running out. If this was a person who had a habit of delaying the prayers because of his own work, many times we do it. I'll do it a little later. And after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, after 15 minutes, and the person ends up missing the salah. If this was the habit of the person, as he would see the angels, he would try to reply to those questions, and he will just get involved into those questions. That will be the first test that the angels will tell the person, you are not punctual on your prayers, you had no importance of the prayers, and the true believers will tell the angels at that time, you can ask me as many questions as you want later on. Just please give me a little time so that I can perform Salatul Asr, because I'm almost missing the time for Salatul Asr. So as soon as he would say that, angels would remind him that no more prayers anymore. You are in your grave. You have no responsibility of doing the salah anymore. But at least that will be the first test for this believer. And that will be the thing that will tell the angels and will prove to this person and the angels that he is a person who is punctual on his prayers. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the previous missions in Quran al-Kareem and how they went astray. Of course, when the Prophet of Allah came, there were people who accepted the Prophet. Then how come the teachings of the Prophet did not continue? If we try to have our own mathematics and do our own calculations, then our calculators are telling us, if one Prophet is able to invite 10 people, then each of these 10 people will invite in the future 10 more people. So we have 100 people now. And it should always be increasing. Because one person was able to invite 10 people. So each of these people has some of his family members, has some relatives, has some friends. He can go and talk to them throughout your life. You cannot even bring 10 people into things that you believe in. This is what our mathematics will tell us. But if we go back to our records and our books, we'll find out that people are losing a lot instead of having more. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ. That people believed in the prophets. that took the message of the Prophet of Allah, but their future generations, the first thing they started doing was أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ. They started missing the Salah. Once they missed the Salah, because there was nothing now holding them to Iman, Salah is the thing that will protect the person against the evils. There was nothing to hold this person back into his Iman. So therefore, now the next step these people took was وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ, started following their desires. Once they missed the Salah, when started running after their desires, so of course, now they lost the whole deen and they forgot the real understanding and the real spread of the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ, those people who will not be able to prostrate on the Day of Judgment and they make the sujood on the Day of Judgment, as they will be standing up, these people will have full humiliation showing on their face. Looking down, تَرْحَقُهُمْ زِلَّةً, they will be looking down and they won't be able to look up, lift their eyes and gaze up to look at anything, because it has been proven that these people are not true believers and they have no right to stand in the group of mu'mineen, in the group of believers. On the Day of Judgment, there are different ways how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to separate those who claim to be believers from those who are true believers. Different ways will be used for that. This is one of those ways. This will be the beginning point, that people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will go into the sujood. Munafiqeen won't be able to do it. So that group is already out. In the hadith we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that there will be even more ways used and the announcement will be made. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Every person should be standing with those whom he used to love in that world. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ حُشِرَ مَعَهُمْ. Whoever resembles any nation, in whichever way, tries to resemble other nations, حُشِرَ مَعَهُمْ, on the Day of Judgment, he will be made to stand with them. In this life, if in our hearts, and especially, unfortunately yet, we don't have any scale measurements or any type of instruments that will tell us what's in the heart. But believe me, if we have some of those instruments that will measure what's in the heart, just the way we can measure the pressure of the air and we can tell how cold and hot it is, we can measure so many different things in the world nowadays that people were not able to measure it in the past. If there is something that will tell us what's in the heart, go and put that measurement and that skull or that instrument on the hearts of your children and of the youth of today who are watching TV day and night. You will find that there are pictures of different players over there, of different singers over there, musicians over there. Hardly you will find any picture of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in or the virtuous people of the Ummah in those hearts. They don't even know about them. If this is the situation of the heart, on the Day of Judgment, whatever will be in the heart will be made visible. Whatever we have in our hearts will come up front, will be made visible to people. We know it today that there are many different ways. They can scan different things and make them. You can see it on the screen. Same way, our hearts will be scanned out and everything will be up front on the screen. That this is what this person carried in his heart. These are the loves and these are the beloved ones of his that he used to like and love in the world. That will be visible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that these are some of the factors by which people will be separated, those who just claim will be separated from the true believers. And if these things are scaring us, we need to remember that at the same time, if these are scaring us, they are reminding us also. If we are afraid that I might have something wrong in the heart, then let's change it. This is why the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to remind us that this is what we need to do in this life. This is whatever chance and opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed us with in this life, this is what it is for. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us these opportunities of the life, lest we die with some of those things in our heart, and they will be made visible on the Day of Judgment, that a kafir who was ordered to the hellfire and the love of that kafir is in the heart, so much so that watching those people will make us miss our prayers and neglect the salah and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Now he's warning those who are not willing to accept the change. A reminder has been made. If yet someone does not want to change himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَرْنِي, leave me alone. وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, and those who are rejecting and denying this talk, which means Quran al-Kareem. If people are rejecting it, and remember, rejection can be in two different ways. One is, the kuffar, they come up front and say, we have nothing to do with this book. That's one way of rejecting it. The other way of rejecting it is that we accept it, and we say and we claim that we accept the book, but we reject the orders of the book and the message of the book. That's also rejecting the book. Yahud, up to this day, they are not going to accept and admit that they reject the book of Allah, which was called Torah. Up to this day, they claim that we are still following the true message of God. Then where is the rejection? The rejection is, when they don't like something, they would go ahead and change it. This is a rejection. This Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have protected Quran al-Kareem from getting changed. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We reveal the book and we will protect it. So we cannot change, make any changes into the words of Allah. So what people would do is try to have their own understanding and opinions about the book of Allah. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard two Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in the masjid arguing about one of the ayahs. He came out while he was very angry, and he said to them that stop arguing about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the previous nations were destroyed and went astray because of arguing about the book of Allah. And the simpler means arguing from opinions. Unfortunately, many places we find, especially in this part of the world, I have seen it a lot, I don't know about other parts of the world, people will sit in circles, a person will recite the ayah, will read the translation of the ayah, and will ask the people, what do you think the ayah means? If this is how we would decide the meaning of the book of Allah, the meanings of the words of Allah, that simply we are saying that the book of Allah, wal-ayazu billah, is the cheapest thing in the world, that I will not bring a book of medicine, put it up front here, and read some passages of it, and then ask the people, how do you think we should treat this sick person? We won't do that. Our children get sick. We are not going to open the book of medicine and say we don't need the doctors. We have the books. I have a large library. Just like some people say, brother, I have a lot of Islamic books. That simply means he's saying that because I have a lot of books in my home or in my masjid or at my place, therefore I know everything about Islam, so my opinion should be accepted. But it has nothing to do with how many books we have. We have to go back to the right sources and understand it from the right sources, the way it was understood by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because no one understood Quran better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who received it. He was in direct contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is never losing that attachment and that contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he has the best understanding of it. Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, because of being around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they are number two in having the right understanding of the Book of Allah. And yet, they needed to go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him the meanings of the ayahs of Al-Quran. And if those people needed it, then who are we? And why we won't need it then? So, nowadays, we don't change the words of Allah, but unfortunately, many times, people will go ahead and try to change the meanings of the words of Allah. This is one of the major sins in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, "Man qala fil Qur'an bi ra'yihi fa asaba faqad akhta." A person who will use his opinion in expressing the feelings and the meanings of Qur'an al-Kareem, and he does not have real knowledge and the background of the ayah and understanding of the ayah from the right sources, even if he would come up with the right understanding and he would say what's right, then still he's getting the sin of saying it wrong. Because he used his opinion. And the person who would say it wrong, there are some ahadith who will even go to the extent saying that this person is out of the deen of Allah. Walayazu billah. Why? Because the matter is not that simple. If someone will say something after the session, you would go out and say something that I have not said, I will be offended by that. People start quoting things and someone would come and tell me that you said this. I said, no, I never said it. Who told you? That person told me. I was going to ask him, did I say this? No, you said something I thought this is what you meant. No, I never meant that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delivering a message for the hidayah and for the guidance of the people to be followed. And I go and tell the people, I think this is what Allah wants from us. And the person will go ahead and will do it, will accept it as a message of Allah, not my message. He will take it as the words of Allah, as the message of Allah. Whereas the message was wrong. Allah never meant that, He never sent that, and He never wanted people to do that. Imagine what type of sin is that. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ. Who can be more wrongdoer than the person who fabricates a lie against Allah? This is fabricating a lie against Allah. أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ. And those who reject the words of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore is telling us, leave me alone and those who are rejecting this talk. And as I said, rejection can be in two different ways. So we should not just look at the disbelievers that these ayahs are only for kuffar, they are rejecting it, I'm fine. No. How many times we get an order of Allah and for one reason or other we reject it. وَلَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. But we have to, I also have to mention another point here, that rejection means that rejecting in belief. That means the person says, no, it's not like that. If a person will accept it, will believe in it, and then is not able to practice it considering himself as a sinner, wrongdoer, that's a different issue. But rejection means rejecting to believe in it and saying, no, this is not what Allah means. Allah means something different. Allah says, interest is haram. A person will go and use all of this interest. If he would say that I'm a sinner, he has a whole different story. But a person comes up and says, no, this is not interest that Allah talks about. This is halal. And everything that is forbidden, we find a way to say, no, the one that I'm doing is halal. The ones that other people are doing, that's the one that is haram. So none of the ayahs that are talking about haram is applicable on me, because the way I'm doing it, it becomes halal. There is a book written by one of the scholars called Al-Halal Wal-Haram. Many scholars suggested that the name of this book should be Al-Halal Wal-Halal, because he finds a way for you to do every haram thing in Islam. You want to play music, he'll find a way for you. Use interest, there is a way for you. Dancing, there is a way for you. So, therefore, scholars suggest that that book should be called Al-Halal Wal-Halal. That halal and halal only. There is nothing haram in Islam. And this is the methodology that many people are coming up with nowadays, that let's make people happy. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah never made any difficulty in this deen. Deen is easy. One day, a brother told me, he's talking about Islam and talking good, mashallah. And finally he comes up to a point, he says, I wake up, I'm getting old. I cannot wake up early in the morning. Fajr is too early. So I wake up at 10 o'clock and do the salah. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah did not make this deen too difficult. So I can do Fajr 10 o'clock. What's wrong? So the whole deen can be changed. This is what rejecting means. That the person not accepting the way it is. Yes, if a person says, you know, I'm a sinner, may Allah forgive me, I do not wake up, I try, whatever, may Allah guide me, praise to Allah. But with those type of thinkings and that type of understanding, he would never even think that he's doing something wrong. Allah says, nothing wrong. The way I'm doing it is fine. So there is no way that this person will have tawbah, will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is not, according to his understanding, he's not doing anything wrong. And this reminds me of another very important point here, that sometimes the excuse is worse than the sin. There is a saying in the Arabic language called عُذْرٌ أَقْبَحُ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Excuse worse than the sin. Shaitan rejected to do sajda to Adam alayhi salatu was salam when he was ordered to do it. It was a sin. Why didn't you do it? Now he's bringing an excuse. The excuse is, I'm better than him. The excuse was worse than the sin. So, sometimes the excuse is worse than the sin itself. And because of that excuse, the person gets in a worse situation than committing that sin. And this is exactly what I think the gist of the whole talk is, that many times we find excuses for ourselves for doing wrong, if instead of finding an excuse, we just admit of having the mistake, of committing the mistake and being a wrongdoer, and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are able to correct ourselves at that time or not, at least we admit that it was our mistake. So we are not making an excuse for ourselves and giving ourselves an excuse for doing something wrong. Because there is no excuse whatsoever in the world to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no excuse in the world. If the whole world will get together to find one excuse for missing one salah in the life, there is none. No excuse for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Leave me alone and those who are denying this talk, Quran al-Kareem. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We shall punish them gradually from direction they do not even recognize. Gradually, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ. Gradually we will get them. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. From directions لا يعلمون, they do not even know about. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. I will put up with them for a while, because my plan is strict and strong. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that when you see the kuffar, when you see the disbelievers having a lot of good time, having wealth, having whatever they want, power, everything that they need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be misled by that. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ I'm giving them a chance. As there is another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Mu'minun, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Do these people think that giving them wealth and children, we are giving them, opening all the doors of the blessings for them? No. بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They are not aware of what's going on. In another ayah, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ When they forgot what they were reminded, what they were asked to do, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Is not we closed all the doors on them. We opened all the doors to them. So now they are getting all the blessings. They are getting a lot of dunya. Everything is getting open. The wealth, the doors of the wealth are getting open for them. That was the reason when Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in during the time of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, they conquered the Roman and the Persian empires. And they started having a lot of wealth in Medina Munawwara to the extent that once so much gold was brought to Umar radiyallahu anhu that it became like a small mountain of gold. If you stand on one side of it, you can't see what's on the other side. When they saw that, they started crying. Why? With the fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be opening all of these doors to us because He does not like us anymore. We feel that I'm making more money, so He likes me more now. We need to remember, neither getting more or getting less is a sign of the pleasure or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those believers who sometime run so much, have so much love for this worldly gain, that whenever they see the disbelievers having more, they feel that Allah is pleased with them. Allah must be pleased with them, they're having so much. Allah says, no, that's not the sign of my pleasure. Because, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when people disobey me, and I shake them up a couple of times, I remind them a couple of times, yet they do not come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ We open all the doors to them. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا They start celebrating what they're having. They get out of their track because of the joy and happiness of what they are achieving and acquiring. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً All of a sudden we get them into the punishment. The person dies. Or he loses his wealth. One of the two things. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ Allah keep on giving a chance to the wrongdoers. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلَتْ Because once he will get him, then he would not have any way to escape the punishment of Allah. But as far as the believers, Allah keeps on checking them occasionally, so that they would remember and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Whatever difficulties you go through is because of your own deeds. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ He forgives most of them. Just sometimes He shakes us up. So who knows that the person will repent. And it happens that when a person starts having some difficulties, he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he would remember the imam. Let's go to the imam and ask him to make dua. If you just make money all the time, you won't even remember us anymore. So, that's the time that... And normally, in many occasions, if you see a person sitting for too long after the salah making dua, you must know that this person must have lost his job. He's having some problems at home. And as soon as that will be solved, then the next day the person is out. No more. He's out of the masjid now. But at least is a way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. And it works. How many times we see ourselves getting to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because of some of the difficulties that we faced in our life. And we were shaken up by those difficulties. We remember Allah. And in many of these occasions we find people, as they come back, then they stay to it and they stick to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that becomes a way for them to come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. I will put up with them for a while because my plan is strong. أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ كَيْد. The word كَيْد in Arabic language means a secret plan that no one can be aware of it. And it's important to understand this word because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ كَيْدِي, my secret plans are very strong. That simply means we don't even know where it's coming from. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِّن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ. He has the power to send the punishment from above you or underneath you. And sometime, the person does things in which his destruction lies over there and he's very proudly and arrogantly getting into that. Just like Qarun, think about that situation. When he left with all of his kingdom and he's having a nice, all of his army and his followers and workers around him. And very arrogantly he's walking on the streets of Misr, Egypt. And that was the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided to be the time of his punishment and he started sinking in the ground. So many times a person runs towards his destruction. This is exactly what it means. Kaid. That secret plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is driving the car and is going to do something wrong to others. He doesn't know that these are the last moments of his life. In fact, he's riding the car not to that place, in fact, to his destination. And his final destination. He's going towards his death. أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا فَهُمْ مِنْ مَغْرَمٍ مُثْقَلُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you asking them for a fee so that they are heavily burdened with debt? Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam's work was always for free. They never burdened the people with wages and fees. And so much so, so that people won't have any blames on Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah made a rule for them that they cannot even accept the zakah. And not only the Prophet himself, even his family members cannot accept the zakah. Ahlul Bayt, zakah is not allowed for them. So that no one will say that they have this zakah to help their family members. And they're gathering it, they're collecting it, and who knows how much they will be giving it to their own people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam are never looking for any worldly benefit out of this service to Islam and to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their service is always for free. Because their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so high that they don't really need to do anything else. They have a full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always fulfilled their needs. Is never, you won't find in the history of all the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam that any of the prophets of Allah, wal-ayaz billah, starved to death because he could not find something to eat. No, Allah would take care of those. And he will fulfill all of their needs. So Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and you go through the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, again and again the Anbiya are saying, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. I'm not asking for any wages on this. All I need from you people is to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all. I don't want anything else from you people. I'm not expecting anything more. No worldly gain from you people. And therefore, even those who are on the same steps of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, in teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should try their best not to be burdened on their communities, and not to try to become wealthy through this field by teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were thousands of scholars of Islam who devoted their lives for the service of the deen and totally fi sabilillah, free of charge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always fulfilled their needs. But if our iman and trust is not that high, so at least then we should, if we are getting paid, then it should be at least to the level that we just fulfill our needs and not be try to become rich with these wages by doing the service to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, we must not forget the fact that is misunderstood by many people, that if you become a scholar, you become imam, you are teaching people, then you do not fit in the outside world. And you become a burden on the community. That's a misunderstanding and a totally wrong concept also. The reason is very simple. If you look at it from that angle, every person is a burden on the community in that sense. Where the doctor gets his money from? From the sick people. So if now you go to the doctor and you tell him that all the money that you're making is you make your living by sick people. You take advantage of the sick people. You go to the lawyer and tell him you're taking advantage of those who are in difficulties. His burden also in that sense. But this is the rule of the life. The people who benefit from you, they are the ones who would pay for you. Sick people are benefiting from the doctor, they would pay for him. The people in need, in hardship, they need the services of the lawyer, they will pay for him. And that's in every field of the life. So even the same thing, those people who are teaching people deen, they're devoting their services to those people, so they will be getting paid by those people. It's not a burden. And if this is a burden, then every field is a burden. That's number one. The second point that we need to remember. Some people will say, these people do not fit anywhere else than in the world. You just teach them deen, Quran, hadith, fiqh, tafsir, that's all. But they do not fit anywhere else. We are not in that time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years back. This is the advanced world. You have to be out in the world. They have to have the right understanding of everything. That's another misunderstanding of the point. You take the doctor and put him in the office of a lawyer, he does not fit over there. He doesn't know what to do over there. You take the lawyer and put him in the office of a doctor, he does not fit over there. Take both of them and put them in the office of the architect, none of them fits over there. Take all three of them and put them in the place of the plumber, none of these people fit over there. Take all four of them, put them in the office of the electrician, none of them fits over there. So no one fits in another office. Everyone has his own field. That person who fits in the masjid, you don't want him to fit in doctor's office and in the market and the supermarkets and out on the streets and in your home. You don't want to make him a showpiece in every place. He fits in his own field, and if he would try to fit everywhere in the world, he won't fit nowhere. Just like those things are specialties. Every field has the specialties. Even within the law, there are so many specialties. You go to a lawyer and you present your case to him. After, if he's patient, after hearing your case, he will say, "Brother, I'm sorry," or "Mister, I'm sorry, because my field is only real estate." You go to another one and you tell him that "I had a speeding ticket." He will say, "I'm sorry, I don't deal in that field." You go to a doctor and you tell him, "I have some problem with my eyes." He would say, "That's not my field. I can write you a referral to another doctor." This is exactly what happens. these are specialties and we accept. We all accept that this is a knowledge. This person has the knowledge in his field. He does not fit in any other office. So therefore, when I need something else, then he would send me or I would go to another person who fits in that field. Same thing with the deen of Allah. This is a specialty. We have to realize that this is the deen. This is a deep knowledge of Quran and the Sunnah, and deeper than any other knowledge in the world. Just ask yourself, is the knowledge about a human body is deeper, or the knowledge of the Book of Allah is deeper? If the knowledge of a human body is so deep that one person is not able to take care of all the parts of the human beings and all different diseases of human beings, and we have specialties over there, and then we also regard those people as great people because of having specialties in these fields, we have specialties in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. This is also a specialty. And it has a deep knowledge, deeper than the body of a human being. So, this is something we have to understand and we have to keep it in mind. But I was mentioning a point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا فَهُمْ مِنْ مَغْرَمٍ مُتْقَلُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you asking them for a fee or wages that because of which they are heavily burdened with debt? And of course, as I said, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam never ask their ummah for any fees or wages for teaching them deen. As I said, that if people nowadays for teaching deen, because of not having that trust of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we cannot be of the level of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So at least we should not try to make this field as a mean of becoming rich and making money and trying to collect everyone's wealth in the life. It should be done as much as possible for the sake of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the intention of serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to fulfill our necessities, because the main goal of this field is to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person wants more over there, he needs to sacrifice more over here. That's the rule. The more we sacrifice here, the more inshallah we'll be getting for it over there.
أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are not asking them for wages, and at the same time, ask them a question, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Do they have the knowledge of unseen things that they are writing it down? And if not, then why they are rejecting the Book of Allah? You are bringing the revelation to these people. You are talking of the revelation. You are challenging them through the ayahs of Al-Quran that these are the ayahs of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't admit that this is the Book of Allah, all you have to do, no need to have wars. You know, you don't have to come up with your armies to have a battle and to curse at me, to write books against me, to distribute literatures and flyers against me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very clearly, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. You have the knowledge of unseen that you are writing. That simply means, then just give us one ayah like the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. That's it. That's the end of the story. One ayah like the short ayah of Quran Al-Kareem. And you would prove that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a prophet of Allah. But throughout history, no one was able to accept this challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the reason that they had to jump out in the battlefields. Otherwise, there was no need to it.
أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Or do they have the knowledge of unseen and they are writing it? فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْزُومٌ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wait with patience for the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't be like the wealth companion, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam.
Insha'Allah, we will talk about this ayah and the rest of the ayahs till the end of the surah in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim and give us tawfiq to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us close attachment to the Book of Allah and to the words of Allah, and give us the love of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.